You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.
Good morning, and thank you for joining us out at Grace Chapel at Grace Ranch for our first day of our ministers' conference. Let us start with a word of prayer.
Father, we thank you very much for this day and for this extraordinary opportunity you have given to us. Lord, may we humble ourselves as we come into your presence and receive that word with meekness. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. Psalm 22:3 reads, "But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel." The Lord inhabits our praises. Let us praise him.
Amen. Amen.
In the name of the Lord, blessed be the name of the Lord.
Thank you.
Let it be
to your glory, let it be for your sake, cause I wanna please you.
Praise the Lord. I said, praise the Lord.
Amen.
That's more like it. God is good.
Amen.
God is great.
Amen.
God's better than chocolate cake.
Amen.
Yesterday was a little hard, wasn't it? But it needed to be said. It needed to be said. And in praying last night, yesterday, the Lord kind of showed me that maybe what we need to do is go back and hit some basics. So, if you will, turn to Mark 16. And we'll go to verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11 as they sat at meat and upbraided them for their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. You know, most people don't pick up on the fact that Jesus wasn't always talking sweetly and kindly to the disciples. You understand what upbraided means? You ever watch a movie with a drill sergeant as he goes after his whatever you call those kids? Yeah, I can't call them what they call them. But you understand what I'm saying. And sometimes even ministers need to be upbraided for their unbelief and their hardness of heart, because they believe not those that said he was risen. Do you understand that? He was risen. You know, we talk about Jesus dying for our sins. And that's great. Praise God. Hallelujah. Where would we be if he hadn't? Amen. And you go in a Catholic church and they got that big cross with Jesus hanging on it to remind us and their people that he died on the cross for us. And that's great. Praise God. Hallelujah. My favorite cross is the empty cross.
Amen.
And my favorite view is the empty tomb.
Amen.
Because he was raised from the dead. Not just for himself, but for us also. The promise was that he died for our sins and take away the curse. But But the finishing of that promise was that he raised from the dead and would raise us from the dead also. How can you believe? How can you believe such a word? How can you believe that Jesus Christ died for your sins and was raised from the dead, that you too will be raised up in that last day, and not believe everything else in between? My God, if he could take the sins of the world, and I saw a vision of that one time, no way I could describe it. But if he could take the sins of the world into himself, and like the word, like the Bible says, he was so disfigured from that sin that he no longer looked like a man. He didn't look like a man anymore. And even the centurion standing by side, seeing this, said, "Truly, this is the Son of God." A Roman centurion could pick it up and see it. And you got to set your mind and set your heart that if you're going to believe Jesus Christ died on a cross for your sins, and that he was resurrected from the dead for your life, then by God, it's time to start believing that he will heal you when you need it. And he will deliver you when you need it. And he will give you those things that you need in all things. It's time to believe him. No matter what. No matter what. But we take out insurance policies on Christ, you see. We're constantly taking out our little insurance policies just in case, you know, he can't hear us. Just in case maybe he's deaf that day. Or maybe he's busy somewhere else. I don't know about you, I'm burning my insurance policies. I remember my dad years and years ago saying, "Son, if you're going to be a minister, why don't you be a real minister?" I kind of thought that was an interesting question. Needed further explanation. So I asked him, I said, "Well, Dad, what is a real minister?" And he said, "Well, a real minister is one that has a church with a congregation and they pay him a salary and he has life insurance and he has a retirement plan." "I got all that." He said, "You do?" I said, "Yeah. Wherever two or more are gathered in his name, there's the church. The church ain't a building. Church ain't a building. That's the one thing, I think the one thing the Jehovah's Witnesses have right. The one thing the Jehovah's Witnesses have right. You know, everybody's got to be right sometime. I mean, if nothing else but by accident. Even a dead clock is right twice a day. The Jehovah's Witnesses have one thing right. They don't call their building a church. They call it Fellowship Hall. This building is where we come to have fellowship and to serve God and praise Him in worship. Amen? And, you know, you also have to listen to me talk, but the bottom line is I told him at church is wherever two or more are together in his name. I said, as far as life insurance, it's already bought and paid for. Guaranteed, taken care of. Medical insurance, he's my doctor. Bought and paid for. Retirement plan, yep, I retire when I leave here and then I get a new job. If you're a child of God, you ain't never going to really retire. You just leave this life and this ministry to go to another life and another ministry. Whatever's his will. My dad never understood that. Sometimes you've got to be upbraided. Sometimes I'm upbraided. For my unbelief and hardness of heart. You understand, you're like a battery. If that battery is not tended upon, it dies and is worthless. It's got to be charged. Even when it's not being used, it's got to be trickle charged or it will die and become worthless. And that's the way we are. It's the law of thermodynamics. It's the physical law that God put in the universe to show us what sin is. Sin is death. And if you're not provoked every now and then, and if you're not jump-started every now and then, you fizzle away and die. That's why fellowship is so important. But fellowship is important for more than just singing and praising God. It's also to correct one another. Someone in the body comes to you and they got a bad attitude or they're wrong. Don't be a coward and run off and tell everybody else. Correct your brother or sister in love that they may be jump-started. Sometimes you can take your battery to charge another battery. Amen? Why waste that battery telling everybody else when the one that needs it is right before you? And then there's charging your battery through prayer. When you're in prayer, especially in praise, your battery is charged. And if you need a high charge, if you need a high, powerful charge, pray in tongues. Wherefore, beloved, building up thy most holy faith by praying in the Holy Ghost. That's charging the battery. Singing to the Lord, praising the Lord charges your battery. And you can tell when your battery's low. You can tell when your battery's low because when your battery's low, you don't want to praise. When your battery's low, you don't want to pray. It seems like it's just too much trouble. You got better things to do. Like sleep. Okay, Lord, I'm going to pray. Oh, excuse me, Lord. I know nobody has that experience, do you? When that happens, it's a sure sign your battery is low. Or you start to pray, and all of a sudden, you find yourself thinking about something that has nothing to do about prayer. Your battery's low. That's when you got to charge it. You got to charge it. And you know what? It's a lot easier to keep the battery topped off than it is to charge it from dead. And I've known some batteries that got so low you couldn't bring them back from dead. And if God says in His Word that everything in the natural shows us clearly that which is shown in the Spirit, what makes you think that you're any different than a battery? If a battery can get drained so low it dies and can't be recovered, what makes you think you can't be drained to the point where you can't recover? And who in the world with that knowledge would want to even take a chance to find out how low that is? I know I wouldn't have done it, but I didn't mean I want to. The thing to do is praise God when He upbraids you. Whether He does it directly in your heart or mind or spirit, or whether He brings a brother or a sister to you to do it. Receive it. And then go get in that closet and charge that battery. Amen. Reading on. And He said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, as Dan Seifert one time told Steve, go into all the world means as you go out into the world. I don't know that it really means that, but it sure sounds good. Everybody, you know, isn't supposed to go out and become a missionary in Africa or something. But everybody is a servant of God if you're a child of God and if you're a disciple of Jesus Christ. Amen. And as a disciple, you're to go spread the good news. Spread the gospel. Wherever you go, to every creature. I want to see a show of hands. How many of you have preached to a cow? Two. Besides myself. So three out of this whole crowd. How many have preached to a pig? I preached to Ricky too. That. How about a frog? A frog. There you go. Yeah, you got. I picked something you did preach to. I was Jim. Oh, I hope you get to hear this, Jim. Ribbit. See, when I read the word, I take it literally. It said, preach to every creature. I couldn't get anybody to listen to me, so I went out and started preaching to the creatures. Good practice. Especially when you find out, when you do start preaching to people, they react just like the creatures did. So when you go preach to that dumb cow and it sits there looking at you like, don't be surprised when half the people you talk to look the same way. Or you go out and preach to that pig and it's there. Don't be surprised when half the people you preach to are but. Every creature, with every creature you preach to, you're going to find somebody that acts just like it. But then once in a while, ever so often, you're going to find the one that hears it. And that's the one you're looking for. Amen, Brother Davey. Preach the gospel. Let's go over to John, chapter 3. And I believe 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whomsoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. See, the key to the gospel is right there. The key to the gospel is right there. We got to get back to simple. The problem with Christians is they get religious. There's nothing worse than a religious Christian. You might as well be a religious Muslim. You get stupid. You get self-righteous. You get to thinking you're worth something and everybody else is not. Have you ever noticed the difference between a religious Christian and a religious Muslim? The only difference between the two is the religious Muslim carries it out. The religious Christian wishes everybody goes to hell. Condemns everybody to hell. The Muslim tries to help them get there. You might say, oh, that's not right, that's hard. Well, I know it's hard, and I know it's right. Religious Christian judges everybody, and their judgment is they're not worthy. The true Christian judges himself or herself and finds themselves not worthy. You see the difference? The false Christian finds others not worthy. The false Christian can find things wrong with everyone around them. The false Christian is constantly accusing others for not being right. The true Christian accuses themselves and puts no blame on anybody else. The gospel is simple. Children of Israel came to a point where God was fed up with their rebellion and their hard heart. And he sent serpents. Now you know and I know the serpent, the snake, is a symbol of the devil. And he sent these serpents, these poisonous serpents, into the congregation. And they bit them. And that poison was killing them. The serpent represents Satan. The poison represents sin. And the serpents didn't go look around to see which one was better than the other. Let's see, should I bite this one or I bite that one? They bit them all. They bit them all. And God told Moses, take a rod, put an image of a serpent on it, and hold it up. Whoever looks at that rod will be delivered, will be healed. Didn't say whoever kept this rule, that rule, and the other rule, and didn't do this, but did that, and looked. Just said whoever looked. Can't get any simpler than that. That means if Bob looked, he'd be delivered. If Charlie looked, he'd be delivered. If John or Johnny looked, they'd be delivered. Linda will have to pray about. If Linda looked, she'd be delivered. Doesn't say any conditions at all except they looked. And they believed. And here it says, just as Moses, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Didn't say they will not. Then he should not. Amen. All right. Now, let's go back to Mark. Look at verse 16. See, the other said, you believe in him, you should not perish. Right? This is what it says, he that believeth what? The gospel. Not church doctrine. Not the Pope. Or the rector. The gospel. Jesus Christ died on the cross for all your sins. Every one of them. Past, present, future. All of them. All of them. You want to accuse me of sin? Go ahead. What is it to me? Jesus Christ forgave me of all sin. You want to accuse each other? Go ahead. I can't speak for you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. First John chapter 5, verse 7. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. These three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the water, the Spirit, and the blood. These three agree in one. So as God is one, this baptism spoken here is one. You receive the baptism of the blood by the Father. You receive the baptism of the water that is into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. You receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit that is into God's power by Jesus. Therefore, in Matthew, when Jesus said, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and the Holy Ghost, he wouldn't say dunking them three times in the water. He was talking about the three baptisms. Baptize them in the name of the Father. What's that? The blood. That's got to come first. Always got to come first. Always has to come first. And then the Son. Baptism of the Holy Ghost. In the name of the Holy Spirit or the Holy Ghost. Is into the body of Christ. Remember Jesus said, without me you can do nothing. If you're not in Jesus, you can't do anything. You can flap your tater trap all day long. You got to be in him. And you're in him when you're baptized in the water, the blood, and the Spirit. Then you're in him. And you shall be saved. Amen. 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 Praise God. How do you know you're saved? Because you feel a tingle, tingle. How do you know your car can go down the road? It's got enough gas in it. You look at the gas gauge. It'll tell you whether there's gas in it. How do you know if you got enough oil in it? You do like Steve does. Look at the oil gauge. Yeah. That worked real good, didn't it, Steve? You have the Lord say, praise God. These signs shall follow them that believe. In my name, shall they cast out devils? Shall they speak with new tongues? I want to show you something with this in my name thing. I know God has so much grace. He has so much grace. Amen. I don't. Oh, those guys out there listening to this missed it. God has so much grace that people go around saying, in the name of Jesus. I remember Ernest Angley. That was a good one. Anybody ever hear of Ernest Angley? He was the one that come out in a three-piece white suit. And all his little helpers are dressed just like him. And for every service, he had this big thing of angels. Talking about how the angels came to him. Maybe they did. Praise God. Hallelujah. But it was always in the name of Jesus. You got these guys in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus. They say it like a mantra. Like some kind of magic word. You understand what I'm saying? It's not a magic incantation. I've walked in hospital rooms. People were healed without me ever opening my mouth. Some of you know that. Remember it. I walked up and just slapped people. Never healed. Never saying a word. It's not saying in the name of Jesus. It's being there in the name of Jesus. You gotta be there in his name. You gotta be there representing him. And when you're there representing him, these signs will follow. Heal the sick, cast out devils, raise the dead, perform miracles, speak in tongues. A serpent bites you, won't hurt you. And if you're poisoned, it won't hurt you. That doesn't mean you go grab a rattlesnake and wrap it around your neck and say, see, I'm a Christian. Got to remember the rest of the scripture. Scripture says that God would put his angels in charge over thee, lest you durst your foot upon a stone. Satan tried that one on Jesus. You be the Son of God, cast yourself down. For it's written. Jesus turned around and said, it's also written. What was that? What? That's right. Thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God. You go pick up a rattlesnake to prove you're a Christian. You're tempting God. Amen. You go drink poison to prove you're a Christian. You're tempting God. Amen. Watch this. You pray for somebody to be healed to prove yourself. You're tempting God. If you pray for somebody to be healed, to prove you're of God, then you're not in God. I don't care how many times you say in the name of Jesus. And you want to know the funny part? If that person that's being prayed for believes in Jesus and believes in God healing them, they may still be healed and probably will be healed. But when you try to use that as a reason for being saved when you're standing in front of Jesus, didn't I heal the sick, Lord? No, you didn't. I did it in spite of you. I don't even know who you are. Get out of here, you work iniquity. Because I don't even know you. Yeah, y'all seeing some of this? Are y'all understanding this? Is this getting through to you? Back to the simple basics. Jesus died on the cross for us because no way in heaven or hell was there any way we could cross the gulf without him. No more than the rich man could cross the gulf from hell to Abraham's bosom. And no more than Lazarus could cross over to the rich man. The only one that was able to cross over was Jesus. The only one. And he is the only one who can take us home. The only one who can heal us. The only one that can deliver us. He gave us eternal life. He gave it to us. And then he proved it. Will you receive it? That's all there is to it. I'm done.
As we sing here, you know, it's one thing to mouth the words. It's another thing to believe the words. See, when you actually believe the words we sing, you're going to be rejoicing. So let's sing praises unto our King. Amen?
Amen.
Lord, a cheer.
Praise you, Lord.
I will be very brief, and then we can play another song. And I just wanted to, yesterday we finished with a verse that Brother Richard had me read out of Hebrews in 3, and it was verse 14, and it said, but we are made partakers of Christ if we hold the beginning of our confidence steadfast unto the end. Now, I don't know about you. I know for many of us, I know for myself, when I first heard the gospel, what Richard just preached today is what he preached to me. He preached this. Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. All I have ever wanted to do is walk in fulfillment of that. But the thing that happens, it says, you know, holding the beginning of our confidence steadfast. That means unwavering. And one of the things that happens is amongst people, people's confidence wavers. And it's that law of, the second law of thermodynamics he's talking about. You tend by nature to join with others in falling rather than standing. It's our nature. And so what we have to do, what you have to do, and this is that part about caring not about what anybody else thinks, you just have to determine, look, you're going to stand before Jesus Christ alone. And when you stand before Jesus Christ alone, there's going to be no game that you can play that is going to convince him that you believed. He's going to know. And you're going to know too. So every device that passes out here is not going to pass there. So what you have to do is you have to determine, you have to get down and look, we have a lot to repent of, don't we? We have a lot to repent of, each and every one of us. And we need to do it now. We need to do it now and choose, notwithstanding the testimony of that second law of thermodynamics, which tells you you're not worthy, tells you you can't do, tells you all this. And that can be a testimony over 1 year, 2 years, 10 years, 20 years, 40 years. I don't care how long, 60 years. I don't care how long that testimony may have been there. It doesn't have to be your testimony from this day forth. Amen. So let us repent. Let us ask forgiveness for our unbelief. Let us determine to believe the gospel. Let us look to Jesus, recognizing there's no other condition. And let us walk in that victory and not accept anything else. Amen.
I
Well, as you folks go forth today, are you going to play another song? Or are you done? It looked like you were done, so I was. One of the songs we sang at the beginning, it talked about waves of mercy and waves of grace. And I just want you to remember that in repentance, that's what overtakes you. The Lord doesn't want to hold any of this against us. He wants to take it off of us. Amen.
I think you ought to do the victory chant.
Hail, hail, line of Judah. How wonderful you are.
Jesus reigns, and proclaim that Jesus reigns.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah.
Hail, hail, Lion of Judah.
How wonderful you are.
How wonderful you are.
Hail, hail, hail.
May the Lord bless you.
You are listening to the Eagle Radio Network. Our programming is listener-driven. If you'd like to help support the Eagle Radio Network to be able to continue providing programming, please click the donate button located on our site at www.eagle-radio.com. Thank you for your support.